Hey Shoujo fans, welcome to episode 31 of Shoujo Sunday. This week we'll be covering episodes 10 through 12 of Ouran High School Host Club. Let's dig in. We're back. Okay, here is our soft serve summary of episode 10 of Ouran, A Day in the Life of the Fujioka Family, brought to you by Wikipedia. Tamaki awakens from a nightmare in which he sees Haruhi living in poverty. He enlists the others and they go to Haruhi's apartment, where she resigns herself to letting them in and serving them tea. When Honey asks Haruhi to prepare lunch, they prepare to go to the commoner's supermarket. As Tamaki lags behind to pay respects to the shrine of Haruhi's late mother, he and Haruhi exchange a moment of empathy, but he trips and falls on top of her, making a bad impression on Haruhi's father, Ranka Fujioka, as they arrive home from work. Later, Ranka reveals that they are a professional drag queen named Ranka and has been in contact with Kyoya ever since Haruhi became a host. Haruhi is thoroughly annoyed and goes shopping by herself. Ranka and the host stalk Haruhi, and though Tamaki tries to impress Ranka with his appreciation of Haruhi, Ranka refers to him as the enemy. And that's our summary.
Cool.
Yeah, I had to do some self-edits on that one, guys, because...
Yeah.
Yikes. Mm. So, Gianna, do you have a theme?
So, I kind of struggled with a theme for this one. I didn't really get to put together a full sentence, I guess. I just put something about exercising caution with what you say to others. I think that's just, like, kind of what was encapsulated a lot in this episode. Everybody was trying to mind what they were saying.
Right. I understand that, yeah. I think, what did I put? Don't act on things that happen in your dreams, only in reality.
Okay, I like that, yeah.
Do you have any sprinkle on top?
I do not. Do you have any?
No.
Okay, I feel better now.
Right? Yeah. It's hard to find that sprinkle.
Yeah, it's like, maybe the cracked dishes in Tamaki's dream had something, but we're not going to reach that far.
Right. Okay, let's get into Floats Your Boat.
Okay.
So, I guess this isn't really a trigger warning. It's more of just a warning. There are plenty of things that I didn't like.
Okay.
In the introduction of Ranka.
Yeah.
But we'll get into that at a later point. And also into my feelings about this dream that Tamaki has. But I did want to say that I thought it was cool he lived in a castle.
Oh, yeah. His living situation was really interesting. I would have liked to see more of the place.
Right, because, you know, Japan is so small. How do you have so much property like that?
Right. It just goes to show the scale of wealth these kids are dealing with.
Right. What is one of your floats your boat?
I thought that the tension, the awkward tension, was beautifully achieved as the host club steps into Haruhi's home for the very first time. There is like a banana split with this, so yeah. I don't know if I should like delve into that right now, but I just thought that like, you know, someone coming over your house for the first time always is a little bit awkward, but it's exponentially awkward when it's like Haruhi and the host club. It's like they would never really be seen outside of school together. So yeah, I thought that the awkwardness was really well achieved there.
Right. And something, at least what I liked about the episode once they got into Haruhi's place, was that Kyoya broke the fourth wall and was asking Tamaki and the twins why they were having a contest about embarrassing her.
Yeah, it was like the first person who embarrasses Haruhi loses.
Right, and it's like, Kyoya was so right, because I was just like, why do you even need to make this a contest?
Yeah.
Like, just don't do it.
Yeah, I totally agree.
But I think it was funny just to see, like, you know, usually the twins are playing pranks on Tamaki, but in this instance, they were just going right along with his antics and his reactions to certain things.
Right, because this environment, which again, I'll get into like a little bit more on those thoughts in Banana Split.
Yeah.
This environment is so like foreign to them. It's like, you know, how they were literally in a jungle a few episodes ago, this, and it was like nothing to them. This is like their version of going into the jungle, and they need to stick together, and it's ridiculous.
It's ridiculous, but then it was still like sort of funny.
Yeah.
Also, Mori gave Haruhi a strawberry.
Yes, that's what I have next. Oh my gosh. And all I was thinking was, you know, I kind of see the ship.
Yes.
I see it. I see what you mean.
Yes.
I think that they would be cute together, although his devotion to honey would probably cause some issues.
Right. It will be a little bit problematic and stuff.
Yeah.
But I just, oh my gosh. I know he just gave her a strawberry, guys, okay? I get it. But the thing is, for me, all of the, like, not all of them, Kyoya wasn't, but, like, the twins and Tamaki were just being so extra. And, like, Mori being calm and just noticing, like, oh, you like strawberries? Here is one. It was so nice. And then he, like, smiled, too. I was like, oh, my heart.
Yeah, that little smile where he's like, I'm glad I could do that for you. It was really cute.
Yes, it was.
I have next when Tamaki takes a moment to pay respects to Haruhi's mother. I thought that that was really kind and thoughtful of him to just kind of take a moment and come out of the ridiculous shell he was in and do that for her.
Right. You know, I actually had that in Rocky Road. Well, not...
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
Like, not Tamaki paying respects, but just watching Haruhi, like, reminisce about her mom.
Yeah.
I didn't actually cry, guys, okay? I'm just saying it was very emotional, sentimental, and I was like, oh, okay, Rocky Road. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I have stuff in Rocky Road that I didn't necessarily cry about, but just the thought of it was very sad.
Yeah.
I guess I could have put this in Rocky Road, yeah.
No, I mean, I think him paying the respects, I think, you know, we do like that. We compartmentalize on this podcast. It's okay.
We do.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I have, in all caps, the plot banana.
Oh my god, I have in all caps, plot banana strikes again.
Twinsies.
Yeah.
Yeah. I died. Laughing.
Oh, me too. He just slips and falls on Haruhi. I just love a good precarious situation setup. It just, mwah, chef's kiss. So funny.
Yes, and like what killed me is that the plot banana happens. Ranka sees them together and like you hear Honey and Mori narrating.
Yeah, like of all the hosts to narrate, it's like Honey and Mori. It's so good. It adds so much humor to the situation.
Yeah, yeah. So I was like crying, guys. I was like, this is just so, so hilarious.
Yeah.
And then finally, you see Ranka just stop standing outside the door, goes over to Haruhi and literally throws Tamaki into the wall.
I think one-handed, too.
One-handed. His face left an impression in the wall. Like, that's how hard he threw it.
I love it.
That's how hard they threw him. And I just, it was great. And guys, because of the fact that Ranka, I guess, I mean, they just say that Ranka is like a cross-dresser.
Yeah.
But it just really reminds me of like our trans community. So rather than referring to Ranka through like he, him pronouns, I'm really trying my best to use they, them pronouns.
Okay.
Which is why like I had to self-edit the soft serve summary from Wikipedia because Wikipedia was like, no. On top of that, I think they use the word like, isn't that a slur? They use the slur.
Yeah, they do.
So,
yeah.
And so I just said like, oh, drag queen.
Yeah.
Versus that, because I just didn't want to. But we'll get into that in another section. But I just felt the need to say that because of the fact that I'm like trying to use they, them.
Yeah, I wasn't sure what to do about Ranka's pronouns because I was wondering if it was like Haruhi's situation where Haruhi really doesn't care. Like she'll take any pronouns, it seems like. But like we don't have that information on Ranka.
Right. I don't know. I feel like everything has a spectrum. And I think that's the same within the transgender community. But because we don't know, it's just like, okay, well, let's default to like they, them.
Yeah, I'm cool with that. I think I will do that too.
Okay, do you have I think I have like two more floats your boat?
I have like one that's kind of two, but it all sort of goes together.
Okay.
I just thought it was very funny, again, compartmentalizing, that Ranka wants to be seen around town with a bunch of cute boys. I thought that was just funny in general. And also, I was just thinking about the similarities between Ranka and Tamaki.
Oh, I had that too.
Yeah, weirdly enough, this is kind of what anchored me in shipping Haruhi and Tamaki, because there's that old saying that's like, you unintentionally date people who are like your parents, and I wondered if this was written in on purpose.
Right. Especially the fact that Tamaki likes calling himself her dad.
Yeah. I mean, that's a whole other layer.
Yeah.
But for sure, like, they have that same chaotic, loving energy. And another thing that particularly made me think about this being written in on purpose was at the supermarket when Ranka watches Haruhi in the store with Tamaki and thinks about how one day they'll have to accept that she'll be all grown up and she'll have that special someone in her life, and it's just focusing on Haruhi and Tamaki in the shot.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was just like, hint, hint, this is the ship.
Right, this is endgame.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, and then, you know what? It's not really floats your boat, but I noticed that, you know, because Ranka said that Haruhi never talks about what, like, happens at school. But when she talks about the host club, she only talked about Tamaki.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. And I was just like, oh, okay. Well,
I mean, like, I feel like the first thing I would go into was this mean boy with glasses put me in debt.
Right. But, you know, I mean, Kyoya already has Ranka on deck.
Yeah.
I'm giving you all this added information. So if you hear about manipulation, like, what? Like, I'm just giving you the information. I don't know what she's talking about.
Yeah.
But yeah. And I think the one other floats your boat that I had was just the twins walking on Tamaki like he was a treadmill.
Yeah.
Yeah. That made me laugh so much.
Yeah, it's great. Just like, oh, don't mind him. He's stupid.
Mm-hmm. Let's get into Banana Split.
Okay.
Do you have any?
Yeah, I can start with a very light one.
Okay.
So when Ranka walks in on that precarious situation set up with Tamaki on top of Haruhi and, you know, enemies are declared and stuff, Tamaki proclaims that he cares about Haruhi when the twins, you know, they're like painting a bad picture. I guess that's directly out of what you were just saying. I was like, when exactly did that happen? Yeah, like right after they were walking on top of him.
Mm-hmm.
Then they're like, oh my God, is he confessing his love? And, you know, I remember specifically the first time I watched it, it kind of like made my heart flutter. I'm like, oh my God, is he though? But then Tamaki follows it up with, I care about her like she's my own daughter. And I just like shake a fist to the sky because it's like, oh, so close to being something.
Yeah. I'm glad that Ranka was able to ascertain that Tamaki's an idiot.
Like, yeah. Yeah.
Why would you say that to her actual father?
Yeah. Right off the bat.
Yeah. Which, I mean, in continuation with that idea, why didn't Tamaki get up? Like, get up. I would have been got up.
Right, I would have been scrambling to my feet.
Right. To be honest, I'm surprised Tamaki didn't get up and shove himself into the wall. Like, I didn't mean it. Like, you know.
Right. Yeah.
Like, them just staring like that. I was like, are your arms not tired? Get up. I think, oh, I put the landlady blushing after Tamaki, like, speaks with her.
Oh, yeah.
I was banana split about it because it's like, he's a minor.
Right.
Like, stand up.
Yeah.
Stand up, girl. Like, what are you doing? Like, it's one thing to just be like, oh, he's very charismatic. Not blushing.
Yeah, I actually probably should have wrote that down because I was thinking it when I watched it.
Oh, and then I think before they made it into a contest, I didn't really understand Tamaki being sensitive to Haruhi's feelings. Like, he didn't have everyone barge into her house.
Oh my God, right?
Yeah.
Like, talk about just a contradiction.
Right, because it's like, if you were this worried, why would you have them, why would you do this, you know?
Yeah, like, why wouldn't you call Haruhi first and ask for permission to have everyone come over, or like if you could come visit,
right?
Instead of barging in on her life.
Right, yeah.
So I just have one more banana split, and it's actually building off of one of my floats your boat. When I was talking about how much I liked the awkward tension that was achieved when they showed up at Haruhi's apartment and they didn't really know how to act and it was like kind of funny on the surface, but then, you know, how I like to analyze when I make notes and stuff. It's just like, yeah, they don't know how to interact with Haruhi in this situation and it's funny, but it's because they're so blinded by their wealth that they can only imagine like absolute poverty for people who aren't as rich as they are, and that's uncomfortable.
Yeah, see, I had that in Ice Cream, You Scream. I'm actually surprised I didn't have Hot Fudge.
Yeah, you know, I, even saying it, I'm like, I probably should have put it there. Like, it keeps getting worse and worse the more I think about it.
I think Brief Ice Cream, You Scream Within, then you gotta split.
Hey.
I think, you know, his nightmare shows that he has no grasp on how regular pedestrians live. And thinking that Haruhi is just in some debilitating state of poverty is insulting.
Yeah.
And maybe it's just because I'm also a person that's currently working on, like, my boundaries with other people. And I know that they never allow Haruhi to have boundaries. Like, they're always in her face, in her space, personal and physical. But going to somebody's home with no notice over a dream is insane.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I have had dreams that made me concerned about friends or really thinking about people I may have not talked to in a long time. And my solution to those feelings is either to reach out to that person and say, hey, I was thinking about you, or if I'm like really close with them, like I remember I had like a dream about my parents and it was like sad and I texted them, I'm like, hey, I had this dream, so like really just want to tell you I love you today. Like, all he had to do is like make a phone call. Like, this this is, again, exponentially wild.
It is. I really cannot stand it. Me personally, because I've experienced it, not dreams, but when somebody makes something up in their mind. Ugh. And then they're punishing you for it.
Oh my gosh, that's awful.
Nothing makes me more like enraged than stuff like that.
Yeah.
Because it's just like, literally get the fuck out of my face. But then it's just like, oh, you're going to literally come to her house. I was not surprised, like, she was super angry. And I mean, of course, like, you know, it's supposed to be funny. They play it off. But I just, it was just so annoying to me. Like, what the hell?
Yeah.
But yeah. But that, I guess that is it for Banana Split. So let's get into Rocky Road.
Okay.
I have one left. Do you have one?
I have one.
Okay.
It's probably the same thing.
Yeah, I bet it is. It's about Haruhi and her dad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. So in the episode, they play this flashback of Haruhi not inviting Ranka to her, like, parents, like, school day thing, or what is it called?
It was Bring Your Father to School Day.
Okay, yeah, like, so Bring Your Father to School Day. And so Ranka was thinking all about, like, you know, their insecurities and got drunk, and like the coworker brought Ranka home and was just said, like, oh, you should invite Ranka next time when there's like a day like that. And then Haruhi is just like, well, I didn't invite you because I wanted you to rest. Like, you work so hard all of the time. Like, your day off, you should be able to just rest. And then Ranka started crying and I was like, oh.
Yeah.
I was like, that's so sweet.
It's so thoughtful.
Yeah. And I think that's just the type of person that Haruhi is in general, to like think of others and think of others' comfort.
Yeah. I agree.
Before she would really think of, like, her own.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so that was, like, a rocky road. So let's get into, well, do you have Hot Fudge? Because I have Ice Cream, You Scream, but honestly, some of this should have just been, yeah.
No, I actually don't have any Hot Fudge listed. I just have some Ice Cream, You Scream.
Yeah, I have Ice Cream, You Scream. I think, to be honest, like, even though it was, like, oh, Banana Split, Ice Cream, You Scream, I just think the fact that they showed up to her house because of the dream, that's really low-key. Should have been in Hot Fudge. But
well, just in general, showing up uninvited to her apartment,
yeah,
is just so uncomfortable. Like, we talked about it when we reviewed Blue Spring Ride a little bit.
Mm.
You just don't show up uninvited to someone's home. It's so uncomfortable.
Right. And then actually, you know what? We do have Hot Fudge. They show up to her home. And then Honey's just like, oh, I want to eat. Can you make me something?
Oh my God. Yeah, I'm boiling just thinking about it.
That's Hot Fudge.
I would, yeah, I don't even know how I would react in that situation, because I have an inclination to be polite, but I also would be so angry that I just don't know how, like, what I would do.
I think I would personally be like, no, you can leave though, bye.
It's like, no, it's like I live right down the street from a Wawa. Go get yourself a hoagie. And if y'all are from Philly, I appreciate you knowing a Wawa or something.
I know Wawa.
Oh, wait, where are Wawas, honestly? Like, I only know them, like, super locally.
I think it's an East Coast thing.
Okay, because I know, like, in the middle of PA, you get Sheets, and, like, that's different. It's like Wawa, but not.
Mini story time, I think I met one of the heiresses to Sheets in high school. Very weird.
Interesting. That's so, like, random. I love it.
It is. It is. And she was, like, dating. I don't think that they're together. I think they broke up. But she was dating, like, the quarterback that was here. They look so mismatched.
Oh, my God.
Like, he was a quarterback, but he was getting so much play despite the fact that he was acne prone as hell.
Oh, that's a shame.
Oh, my God.
That's rough.
Right? And it's like, I say that I have acne still, like, unfortunately, at my big age. But, like, when his was very, like, it looked very cystic at times. But he was the quarterback, so it was, like, a thing. And then she was rich. And so...
Oh, my God.
But anyway, out of that story time. But, yeah, I think Wawa, they had... there was a Wawa near my college. So it's not... maybe it's more spaced out, but the reason why I know about Wawa is because there was one that's like by my college, and anytime my family is driving up to Northern Virginia from Southern Virginia, where I'm located, we stop in my college town and we stop at the Wawa because they have to take breaks. When you get old parents, like, they can't just do long road trips. They have to take pee breaks. So.
Oh my God. Yeah. I will say, while we're in Hot Fudge, a hot take will be Wawa has gone severely downhill the last few years, but yeah. That's that on that.
The quality? Ugh.
Yeah, it's so sad.
Y'all guys, y'all don't know what you're missing. Like, before, it was great.
Yeah, that was good, convenient food, and now it's just, like, the same fast food quality as anything else.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, and you know what? Actually, this should also be a Hot Fudge. I know that this is an early... anime.
Yeah.
I know it.
Yeah.
But to actively use a slur, and that's how they describe themselves, like, and listen, I don't know the full history of, like, our trans community and, like, our friends that are trans. I do not know the full history of it. All I know is that they don't call them the word that is used. It's still used in Wikipedia, and it's in the subs on Netflix and everything.
Yeah, it's actually, it's in the dub, too.
Yeah. Yikes.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, I feel like it's a slur.
I believe it is, yeah. I wrote that in my notes, but it's good to double check.
Somebody on Reddit said that it's outdated, but not a slur.
I don't know. Yeah, I thought that I had been told by someone in my personal circle that, like, that word's a no-no. So I have just... I had always hoped that people were learning that that word was a no-no, so.
Right, like, if it's not a slur, okay, but I still don't feel, we don't feel comfortable using it.
Yeah.
But I just feel like, you know, I don't know, I think that they could really just say cross-dresser.
Yeah.
Instead.
Right.
Because that gets the same, it gets the point across.
It does.
But either way, yeah, I didn't like that, and, like, so when they were using it, and then Ronka called themselves it, and then I was just like, this is, I don't know.
Yeah.
Then Ronka made that comment about walking with, like, young boys, and I was just like, I don't know how to feel about it, but yeah, I just feel like you could just use cross-dresser, and it works just as well.
Right, it accomplishes what they are trying to do.
Yeah. Okay, let's get into Ice Cream You Scream. Do you have one?
Yeah, I have a couple. So, first one is that... Kyoya pays for lunch with the money raised from photos of Haruhi that they sold.
Yeah.
So Haruhi's still paying for lunch, even though she is hosting them and they said they would pay for lunch. It's just in a roundabout way. That really made me mad, honestly.
Right, because you invited yourself to her home and now you're using money that she technically earned without her knowledge or consent to then pay for lunch. At her home.
Yeah.
And it's like, why don't you just go to your own home or, like, take her out to eat somewhere?
Yeah. Like, they dropped in unexpectedly. The least they could do is feed her.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's that easy. Like, they could just feed her. They could get takeout.
Right. It's not like they can't afford it.
Right. Right. Yeah, so I thought that was insulting as well. And it's just kind of like, I don't really like the fact that Kyoya and Ranka have a relationship and Ranka doesn't know, like, just how manipulative Kyoya is.
Yeah, I have that too in Ice Cream, You Scream. Just the fact that they have been talking about Haruhi behind her back just because Haruhi didn't want to give, you know, her parent every detail about what happens at school.
Yeah.
That's uncomfortable.
It is. And I think that Ranka is kind of encouraging Haruhi's lack of agency in that way.
Yeah.
Which is terrible because it's like you're focusing, I guess as a parent, they're focusing on the wrong things. Like, oh, I want Haruhi to be around me. I'm not ready to give her up yet. I'm getting reports from somebody at your school about what's going on with you.
Mm.
To then stalking her and having all these boys stalk her.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're supposed to be her father, and why would you teach boys to stalk your child and act as if that's okay? And I think that that is really sad just because they kept talking about how, you know, Haruhi just doesn't depend on them. And it's reminiscent in Tamaki in that it's just like, why don't you just fucking ask her? Like, hey, you know, like, I know that you're trying to do these things to help me out because your mom is no longer around. But, you know, if you need help with things, like, you should tell me. We should have a conversation, you know? I know you don't have time to really get into all the things that you do at school, but I'm invested. I want to know what's going on with you because I care about you. And I don't know why, as her father, Ranka can't have that type of discussion with her. Instead, Ranka is teaching boys how to stalk her, which is so problematic because then it's just like, why would you want other boys to know how you stalk her so that they can also do that? Like, why would you admit to that?
Yeah. And also, Haruhi made it explicitly clear that she wanted to go grocery shopping by herself so that she could get some solitude. And instead, they all stalk her to the supermarket. Again, just treading all over her boundaries.
Yeah. So I just really hate the fact that Ranka reinforced that type of behavior around Haruhi because it's just like, it's such a big disservice to her.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Do you have other floats your Jesus. Do you have other Ice Cream, You Scream?
I just have one more, and rereading it, it probably could have been in our hot fudge segment. So in the flashback about how did he not taking Ranka to bring your father to school day, Ranka's friend or like coworker, I don't really remember who it was in context, tells them that Haruhi didn't invite them to school because she's embarrassed that they wear women's clothing. And I don't know what more I need to, like, elaborate on that to say why it makes me angry. But yeah, that's awful.
It is, yeah. I think they should know Haruhi better than that. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. The last Ice Cream, You Scream that I have is the tea that the twins brought over.
Okay.
Africa is a continent.
Yeah.
Where did the tea come from? It's not just African tea. Where did it come from?
Yeah. That's like really vague.
Yeah. And I mean, I know like people still do certain things like to this day, you know, when it comes to describing things from quote unquote Africa. But, you know, just like how there are different countries in the United Kingdom, there's different countries in Africa. So it's like, okay, is that tea from Liberia? Is it from Namibia? Is it from Kenya? Is it from Nigeria? South Africa? There's so many different places. And so it's just like, it's not, this is very minute, but just because I'm Nigerian, Africa is not a monolith. Like, there's different characteristics. I'm certain that there's different types of teas. But yeah, so that irritated me. I wasn't hot fudge, but it irritated me. So
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Next time, why don't you just say it's from this country that's in Africa?
Right. That would have taken like one Google search.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Let's move on to episode 11. Big Brother is a Prince. Here's our soft serve summary. Karimi Nekozawa, a young girl, comes to Oran Academy searching for her older brother, Umihito Nekozawa. She finds and labels the host club a reverse harem filled with debauchery, terms the host find startling given her age. When Karimi sees Tamaki's blonde hair, she mistakes him for Umihito. Hiratake and Karumatsu, two Nakazawa family servants, arrive to retrieve her, revealing that Karimi is afraid of the dark while Umihito is afraid of the light. Umihito enters, but with his black cloak, black wig, and Bezelnef cat puppet, he frightens Karimi, causing Umihito to leave dejected. Afterwards, Tamaki and Renge coach Nakazawa into becoming the princely figure who will save Karimi from the monster in her house, who, in actuality, is Nakazawa wearing his dark clothes. Tamaki and Renge convince him to give up his cloak and wig, saying his photophobia, which is a fear of being afraid of light, is psychological. This leads him to saving Karimi from a large, unfriendly stray cat and proves his bravery. Despite temporarily overcoming his photophobia, Umihito succumbs to his skin sensitivity to sunlight and collapses. The host club believes that they were unsuccessful when, in reality, the Nakazawa siblings reforged their bond. Okay, Gianna, do you have a theme?
Yes, I do. And a theme could kind of work for one of my sprinkles on top as well. So I put, functioning in 100% darkness or 100% light isn't possible. We must strike a balance, for one does not exist without the presence of another.
That is poetic as hell.
Thank you. How about you?
I just said, you will do anything to save your family.
Oh, I love that. Yeah.
And I don't have any sprinkles on top. Do you?
I do have a sprinkle on top.
Ooh, okay.
So I find it funny. Nekozawa's last name, Neko, translates to cat in Japanese, and Zawa, I did have to Google, is apparently like a Japanese like onomatopoeia for an uneasy atmosphere. It makes me so happy.
Right, because that's exactly what he gives. Like,
yeah, it's perfect.
Okay, let's get into Flotirbo. So I'll just say, right off, Karimi just full out being like, you are a reverse harem, and it's yeah. filled with debauchery. I was cackling.
Yeah, that's like in a cluster of fourth wall breaks. And it's also even better that it's coming from this little cute blonde girl with like the cutest little voice. So like she has a fourth wall break saying it's a reverse harem, that there's debauchery here. And I think in that scene, you see a peek at the door to the Black Magic Club, and Haruhi's like, why does the door look different all of a sudden? So I love that cluster of fourth wall breaks.
Me too. Me too. And I also love the fact that Haruhi is like this voice of reason.
Yes. Yes. She's our anchor.
Yeah. Like throughout this episode, but especially when like Tamaki just kind of, I mean, he gets pulled into anything, but then just decides that, oh, Karimi, you're my younger sister now. And it's like, what the?
She's like, this person, she has an older brother. Like, you can't just do that.
Right. It's like, you can't just make empty promises. And so I just love the fact that she like souchly said that, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Then we see Nekozawa's appearance.
We do. We do.
And it's just like, I never imagined that he looked like that.
Yeah, you know, he's tall and blonde, apparently.
And Russian.
Oh, yeah.
Or part Russian.
Oh, yeah, I kind of didn't realize that, yeah.
Yeah, so it was just like, oh, and then they put the stuff on him. So it's like, oh, I liked it, but then at the same time, I was just like, okay. Like, it was funny, but it's just like, he's doing, like, the most, and I guess he's so socially out of touch that he can't realize that he's freaking his own sister out.
Yeah, I honestly, like, I will die on the hill that I love Nekozawa, and I think he's a fantastic character. He's just so interesting. Also, the fact that his family worships cats, I'm absolutely here for that. But yeah, there are lots of layers to this guy, and it's very, very interesting to me. He's always been one of my favorite Ouran characters.
I think he's interesting as well, although I do have just thoughts about his family, but that's for another segment.
Okay. Yeah, I will say the next thing that I had was kind of about, I guess, the something that the maid said, and it's purely because of Haruhi's reaction.
Oh.
The whole rant about Kirimi and Nekozawa being the family's Romeo and Juliet, and Haruhi immediately calls that out for making absolutely no sense. And I just love that she's like, yeah, you know, I just improvised that for dramatic effect. So good. Like, there's so much great writing in this episode. I really, really love this one.
Yeah, I love it as well. I think I just could not stop laughing when she did that little Romeo and Juliet reference. Like, what? Like, what are you trying to say?
Yeah, what's even happening at this point?
Yeah, because it was very just like, okay, gross.
Yeah, yeah.
Go off, though.
Right. We love some dramatic effect.
Yeah. Also, I love that Karimi loves shoujo manga. Okay.
Right. She's a shoujo fan.
Yeah. She would listen to our podcast.
Oh, she would. I love that.
I love that too. It's just, and the fact that she had Haruhi reading her shoujo manga, which, I mean, it sort of defeats the purpose. I mean, I guess unless she already knows the storyline, so she doesn't have to like look to see like what the characters are doing. I was like, oh, like, look at y'all bonding over shoujo, although Haruhi was over it.
Well, yeah, she was like 50 volumes in, and like 3 days later.
Yeah, it's like, maybe another time.
Right, let me just recover from like the first 30 volumes.
Right, yeah.
I love when, because I think it came up on the screen when Kirimi was introduced that name translates to fillet. So it got Haruhi thinking about food, and she accidentally calls Kirimi sashimi. And I thought that was so funny. It gets me every time.
Wait, the fact that her name is like food, right? But it's a type of fish fillet, and they worship cats.
Oh my god, that a cat would eat. No. And she's afraid of cats.
Oh my god, this is so funny. They'll eat her up.
This is such a good episode. Oh my god.
It was. It was. I laughed so much. Like, yeah. Why are they like this? But yeah, I want to also get into Renge. When Renge shows, every time she shows, this time I'm telling you guys, I know I said I was cackling. I was really like laughing very loud when Renge just shows up ready to change Nekazawa into like a whole new character just so that he could meet his sister.
Yeah, Renge always makes a grand entrance and I love it.
Yeah, and then she turned into Medusa. She had the little Medusa heads.
Yeah, the snakes.
Girl, like, why are you hitting him? Okay, and like the fact that she was so dramatic with like the flashlight, like she's like the beam of evil.
Right. Oh my goodness, like that is so over the top and I'm here for it 1000%. That scene where he's like, I'm a handsome princely big brother, gets me every single time. And then like he turns to Kirimi with the flashlight and it's making his face look all like shadowy and spooky and she ends up crying instead. It's like, oh no, he's trying his best.
Really, he really was trying and he like showed it his face in the light. It's just that there was too many shadows and so it's like ghost stories and that's not what she liked, so she freaked out. Do you have more floats your boat? I think I have just one more. Actually,
I have two more, but it could all kind of probably go into one. I honestly think it's a very satisfying and honestly inspiring conclusion when Nekazawa runs outside into the sunlight to save Kirimi because she's afraid of the cat that's on her path. Like, of course, this poor baby collapses almost instantly in the sunlight, but it's just so nice to see all of his efforts finally culminate into him running to his sister and her being like, oh, big brother, it's really cute.
The fact that, like, so this, the reason I was laughing, you guys, because finally, we have another shoujo where somebody is literally jumping out of the window. Like, not the window, but out of the window, out of a building.
Oh, no. How did I, like, not even, I, like, ignored that fact completely. He jumped out of the whole building.
Whole building. So he could save his sister.
Oh, my God.
From a stray cat that didn't even look feisty. It just was sitting there. And she's just like, save me.
Wait. Cats can jump from really high places and always land on their feet.
Ooh. Look, we're just...
Oh my god.
You are finding all the sprinkles on top today, girl.
Hey, it's about cats, so I'm here. Like, I'm here for it.
Yes. You're the cat connoisseur.
I do my best.
Yeah. But yeah, I died because, like, literally out of a building, out of a window, he broke the glass, y'all. So he's gonna have to pay for it. I mean, I guess he can since apparently his family creates guns. But
yeah,
but I was just crying laughing because it's like, it's not that deep. Like, why are you doing all of
Right. It's so over the top, and that's what makes me love it so much.
Yeah.
I will say, though, the way the episode ended was so sweet. It seemed like, you know, how, like, in my theme idea, it seemed like that Nekazawa and his little sister were able to kind of strike a balance between their light and they're dark so that they could have a brother-sister relationship. And I thought that was such a sweet little ending to this.
Yeah, and the fact that she tried to draw, like, Bezelnuff on his portrait.
Yeah.
I was cute.
It's precious.
It is precious. But yeah, let's get into Banana Split.
Okay.
So the one thing that I had is, if you're both raised in the same house, why isn't she used to the dark?
Yeah. I guess there's a bit of a plot hole there.
Yeah.
Maybe, like, her room is kept really, really light, and they just don't really see each other much, because maybe she, like, is out when it's light, and he comes out of his room when it's dark, maybe.
Right, but it's like, even if it was like that, you know, she'd probably have a nightlight, and if you have a nightlight, then you're gonna see lots of shadows, so she wouldn't have freaked out when he did the flashlight thing. At least not as much.
Interesting. Yeah, that's interesting to think about.
Yeah. I was just banana split about that, because it's like, okay, you can like the light all you want, but if you were raised around somebody, not even around somebody, like, apparently this sort of behavior is inherent to your family. I don't know why, even if you're that young, you wouldn't somewhat understand what's going on.
Maybe she'll, like, grow out of it a little bit. I mean, we all kind of, like, I was definitely more afraid of the dark when I was a kid, so it is something I think people grow out of.
True, true.
So, the twins tried to get Tamaki to confess his love to Haruhi by providing him with a Haruhi doll, which is questionable on its own. But the reason why it's in Banana Split is because, like, you know, it starts off, like, Tamaki's taking it seriously, which is, like, very silly. And it's actually kind of cute because it seems like he's starting to discover his feelings for her. Like, just imagining, like, oh, confessing my feelings to Haruhi. So it just seems like he's, like, really thinking about that, and it's getting the cogs turning. But then, of course, like, Haruhi walks in at the wrong moment, and it looks like a really bad and gross situation.
Yeah.
And she's obviously rightfully angry at him for that.
Right.
And it just seemed like he was doing something even weirder than he was doing. That was a bad setup. But I just liked that Tamaki was just kind of thinking about, you know, what feelings would I confess to Haruhi? What would I say? So that's why it was Banana Split for me.
Right, right. I get that, yeah. Because, I mean, it was gross. But I agree. It's like, oh, like, at least he's sort of trying. It's just, honestly, I think it's the bathing suit.
Yeah, and honestly, if it wasn't a Haruhi doll, like, if they handed him, like, his teddy bear, that would just be better.
Right.
The fact that it was, like, it was supposed to look like her made it worse, and the bathing suit even worse.
Right, yeah. Because she never even wore it. So.
No. So they're all still just imagining her in this bathing suit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have any Rocky Road?
I do not. I just have two Ice Cream He Screams left.
Okay. I don't know where to put it. I guess it could sort of fit into Rocky Road. Is that I think Tamaki meeting Kurumi was a little emotional because, I mean, he is an only child, but I think it's because of the fact that they're both mixed. So she's like, oh, I have blonde hair and you have blonde hair. You're like me.
Yeah.
And so, like, seeing that, I think it just made me think of, oh, like, how was Tamaki growing up? I mean, yes, you're rich, but you don't look like everyone else.
Yeah.
And so seeing him, like, be like, I'll be your big brother now. Like, I'm like, okay, you're going a little overboard, but I sort of understand why.
Yeah, and we also learn, like, way later the importance of family to Tamaki. So I think seeing this little girl in distress and wanting to lean on him, he immediately was not going to say no. He was going to make sure that girl was happy.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, I have... Is this really a hot fudge? This feels more like an ice cream. So let's just move on to Ice Cream You Scream.
Okay.
I said, where are the parents?
Right. My top point was, why is this little girl roaming the high school by herself? So I'm right there with you.
Yeah. She's like six. What the fuck are y'all doing that this 6-year-old can get from wherever y'all live to a school? and be searching for her brother. Like, actually, as parents, why haven't you made it a point to introduce your child to her older brother so that she's not confused by other people that have similar features to her?
Right. Like, she shouldn't be getting read fairy tales about this princely big brother that she's never met when she should just go meet her real brother.
Right. And that's why I think it's the parents' fault, and y'all are bullshit parents. And usually, you know, the baby comes fresh out now, like... But anyway, the baby comes fresh out, and a couple days later, you bring the older sibling by and be like, this is your new sibling.
Yeah.
People do that. And I mean, once you start living in the same house, like, you see them often enough. And so for me, it's just like, okay, Karimi liking light, that's one thing. But there are times when, as a baby, it's not like she's going to know that shit. So that's why I reiterate that her not being used to the dark doesn't make sense, because those could have been the times when he bonded with his sister.
Yeah.
You know, like, let's say that the parents were sleeping and the baby woke up crying, then he's there comforting her because he's up at night. That's his prime time to be around and do things.
Oh, that's so cute. That would be adorable.
Yeah, so to me, I was just like, that doesn't really make sense. Y'all have, the Nekazawas have shitty parents.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
So my other ice cream, use cream is not serious at all. It's just, and I know that this was a joke. I know this was a joke, but I just want to reiterate that befriending a stray cat is not a cult.
Right.
You can absolutely befriend a stray cat and there's nothing weird about it.
Yeah. If you see like a stray cat and you aren't allergic, totally take it to a shelter, right? The good ones, not the bad ones.
Yeah, a no-kill shelter. Yeah.
Yeah. Just take it to a shelter so that it can find a home eventually. You don't have to look at them as if they're the enemy. And then at the same time, if they are having a negative reaction, like, you also don't know what's been done to them.
Yeah.
For them to have that sort of reaction. So, yeah, I don't really like the implication that, oh, if you're around stray cats, like, you're going to join a cult. Like, there are worse cults that don't involve nice animals, so.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. We already said that the Nekazawas have shitty parents, but I also think that Umihito or Nekazawa, he is not a good brother. Just because your sister rejected you doesn't mean that you should just leave your sister with your schoolmates. You don't know them.
Yeah. Also, like, she's six.
Right.
Like, while you want to respect how she feels, I don't think just abandoning her with people you barely talk to is the way.
Right, because it's not their responsibility to take care of your sibling. That should be your responsibility. And to be honest, you shouldn't have left her there to begin with. Like, if she's not going to go with you because she's scared of you, then she should. The only option she would have would be going with the family staff. So I don't know why he didn't enforce that rather than just, like, running off and then allowing the host club to take care of this minor. Like, are they going to get babysitting fees for, like, doing that?
Right. Like, how did he spend 3 days reading over 50 volumes of manga to this child? She should get something for that.
She should get money off of her debt. They should, you know what? They could revoke her debt. They could even do, like, a buying ban on Kyoya's security team so that her debt is just gone altogether.
Right. Poor Haruhi. Oh.
Yeah. Oh, and I guess the last thing that I had was the Haruhi mannequin in a bathing suit. It's just, like, the twins always take it, like, too far.
Yeah. Always just, like, one step too far.
Yeah. But that's it for episode 11. So let's get into episode 12, Honey's Three Better Days. Here's our soft serve summary. Honey's stuffed bunny, Usa-chan, is stained with tea, with Tamaki and the twins terrified of Honey's reaction when he finds out. Haruhi learns more about Honey's bad temper if awakened from his nap early, and his martial art abilities that once caused a diplomatic crisis between Japan and America. During club hours, Honey experiences tooth pain and Mori discovers a cavity, so he forbids Honey from having desserts or snacks. Honey unsuccessfully tries to obtain sweets, taking his frustration out on Mori by judo throwing him. Haruhi realizes that Mori wants punishment for not being more watchful, and when Honey learns this, the cousins make amends. Once Honey's cavity is repaired, he's happy, but Kyoya is not, because purchasing snacks costs the club money, and Kyoya, as the Shadow King, keeps the club afloat financially, while Tamaki is the outward king who keeps the guests happy. Interesting last sentence. I didn't feel like that was necessary, but that's our summary, guys. So
yeah.
Gianna, do you have a theme?
I do. I just put dental hygiene is important.
Right. I did not have a theme, so we could just go with that.
Yeah, we can go with that.
Do you have any sprinkle on top?
No, I don't.
I like wrote one, but it's not serious.
Okay.
I just said like the teddy bear being thrown on the floor. I guess it's sort of reminiscent to how people treat Tamaki and his feelings.
Yeah, it's basically like, fuck you, Tamaki.
Right. They throw the bear on the floor. They throw his feelings on the floor. And then he just despairs about it all.
Yeah.
But it's hilarious.
It is.
But that was our reach for this episode. So let's get into Floats Your Boat. Gianna, what are some of your Floats Your Boat?
Okay, so I relate so strongly to Honey about being woken up. Because don't do it. Mm. Never do it. I don't like it. I think we talked about weird ways we were woken up when we reviewed Whisper of the Heart.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so I won't elaborate too much, but I do not like being woken up out of a sleep. Sleep's important.
Right, same. Like, especially because, this is just going to sound... Guys, listen to our Whisper of the Heart episode.
Yeah.
You'll hear about our thoughts on Whisper of the Heart and our sleeping habits. But I would say, to repeat, I have insomnia. So if I'm taking a nap, that means that I probably didn't sleep that well the night before. And I'm trying to catch at least an hour or two so that I can feel relatively normal. If you wake me up from my nap, you will face the consequences.
Yes. Just like apparently those military men faced consequences from Honey. I put this in Floats Your Boat because it's ridiculous and I doubt that this rumor actually happened, but it's also extremely funny if it did, that Honey wiped out 2 platoons of soldiers and Japan had diplomatic issues with the States ever since.
The fact that he did, like, he wiped them out and it looked as if he blew the base up and there was an Usa-chan cloud that rose to the sky.
Yeah.
It was so hilarious.
Yeah.
And also, the fact that Honey's English sounded so clear, but then the Green Beret from the USA did not, was very hilarious for me.
Oh.
At least watching the sub.
I was going to say, yeah, that's probably exclusive to the sub, because I did watch the dub.
Yeah. Okay.
I love that Tamaki uses his teddy bear to try and distract Honey from Usta-chan not being there. And then, you know, he does the thing where he throws it on the ground and Hikaru's freaking out, like, oh, he's gonna come after us next. Oh, this entire scene, honestly, like, really is so funny to me. The way Honey sits up and he's like, and he walks over to Usta-chan and he sees him covered in tea. He's like, who's responsible for this? Who got Usta-chan dirty? And Mori just solves everybody's stress by telling Honey that Usa-chan just wanted to have some tea and that's why he's all wet.
Right. I had it in Banana Split. It was just like, why didn't they ask Mori how to clean Usa-chan? Because wouldn't Mori know?
Right. I feel like he would know. I was like, I don't know if there's a quick enough way. Like, I don't know how Honey would feel about him being like in the washing machine.
True. But I mean, I'm glad that Mori was able to save the day, but I also wonder why they didn't just directly... I mean, I guess it's because they're stupid. They should have just directly asked Mori for help.
Right. They always go to, like, step 34 as opposed to step 1
right.
to solve something.
Right, yeah. And you know what? I love the fact that Haruhi did not believe that Honey was as bad as they said until they said that Honey and Kyoya had the same blood type.
Yeah, that's great.
He's like, oh, she believed it.
Right, and then they break the fourth wall, just apologizing to everybody watching who has type AB.
Yeah. I think I have just 3 more Floats Your Boat.
Okay, I actually have a few, but I wonder if ours overlap.
They might. The cavity.
Yes.
So, Honey gets this cavity as soon as Haruhi's just like, you eat so many sweets, do you not get cavities? And what was so funny to me is that when Mori eventually gets him to open his mouth and, like, the girls are like, it's Moe! Oh my gosh! Look at them! And stuff. And I guess cousins aren't as bad as, like, the twins. But whatever.
Oh, yeah.
So Mori's looking in his mouth and then you see the cavity and they're characterized as, like, demons with arrows pointing into his teeth.
That was a cute little characterization of it.
Yeah, I thought it was so funny. I love that.
I actually thought it was really admirable of Tamaki to ask everyone to abstain from sweets in the club room so that it was easier for Honey to deal with his cavity over the next few days.
Yeah, I thought that was really, like, sweet and sensitive of him
yeah.
to do that. And then everyone abided by it too.
Yeah. Yeah. That's even better because, you know, the next thing I have is all the ways that Honey tried to sneak candy.
Oh, me too.
Or any kind of sweets. Yeah. All of that was so funny to me.
It's like my sweet strategy. It's just so cute.
Yeah.
The fact that Mori is just like, first of all, that was evil. As someone who's had cavities before, you shoving a popsicle into their mouth. Oh my yeah. God, you want him to die.
I love, like, the things Honey goes through is trying to sneak the candy in his bag. And then when Mori sees it, he's like, oh no, I was just looking. And then Mori takes the candy and gives him a catalog. He's like, okay, if you're just looking, then try this. Oh my goodness gracious. He's just like trying to get the girls to sneak something sweet into the club room for him. He tries to, like you said, like say that his cavity's all better now, and then Mori shoves the popsicle. My favorite, though, was when he tried to appeal to Haruhi with sadness, and she gives him, like, kelp instead. He's like, I don't understand why God hates me.
It's so cute.
Yeah, it's precious.
Oh, the last floater boat that I have is I love the fact that the sound of Honey's irritation is flies, like a bunch of flies buzzing together, because it is irritating, but it's like, wow, okay.
Yeah, it is irritating. I just have one more float your boat.
Okay.
So I guess getting towards the end of the episode, Honey goes looking for sweets where they would store them in the club room, and Tamaki's teddy bear was in one of the cabinets instead. And calling back to the beginning of the episode, he just takes it out of the cabinet and tosses it on the ground. And I love that it came full circle that way.
Me too. And Kyoya did that on purpose. It's just so funny.
Yeah.
Okay, let's get into Banana Split.
Okay.
Do you have any?
I have two.
Okay. I'll just say I have two.
Okay.
Well, I mean, I have two now because I mentioned one earlier.
Okay.
So one of them is, aren't they rich? Why isn't there a dentist on staff?
Right. They all have, like, personal doctors. So they don't have personal dentists.
Right. Like, I think they made this like, oh, it's going to take a series of days. But it's like, I think it would have made more sense if it's like a series of hours. Right. Because of the fact that they're rich. And so even if somebody's on staff, maybe they're not just on call all the time.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, you have to wait a couple hours for the dentist to come. But a couple of days, that doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, it seemed kind of arbitrary, just like for the plot.
Yeah. What's one of yours?
So one of my banana splits, because I put this in banana split because I just didn't know really where to put it, because it's not Floats Your Boat. It's not like passionate enough to be I Scream, You Scream. I just feel really bad for Honey in this situation because I have like such a sweet tooth myself. And every time I try to cut back, I really, really struggle. So I can't imagine having to just go cold turkey like that. I mean, it's only 3 days. And I, like, if I knew it was only, like, 3 days, I would be okay. But, like, I might still have a hard time with it. So I feel bad for him.
Yeah, I guess, well, I feel like I'm a bit more detached when it comes to sweets. Like, I love candy. Maybe I should just say candy. Candy is technically sweets. Okay, so I would understand sort of where he's coming from if I was that dependent on candy. But I think I would have just made more of an effort to let me get the shit filled so I can go back to living my life.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, and speaking of the cavity, the last banana split that I have is about Mori.
Me too.
I think that it's stupid that he tried to take responsibility for Honey getting a cavity.
That's exactly what I have. He just didn't remind him to brush his teeth, but that shouldn't be his responsibility in the first place.
Right. It should be Honey's responsibility because it's his own teeth.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then also, you know what else? The side plot? That's another banana split. The side, like, confession?
That's an Ice Cream, You Scream for me.
Ooh, well, you know what? Let's go, okay? Because I don't have any Rocky Road or Hot Fudge.
Me neither. Yeah, that's all I got. So let's go.
Ice Cream, You Scream.
So really all that I have about that is that there's this girl. She's confessing her love to Mori, and he just doesn't utter a word in reply to her, and she runs away crying. Like, I know he's the strong silent type and we love him for it, but he could have at least said something in that instance.
I feel like the reason why he didn't say anything is because he was waiting for her to finish.
Oh.
And like, before, it's like, you know, if there was like some time where there was like enough silence, then it's like, oh, I can say no. But then because he didn't automatically start talking because he was gauging if she was finished or not, then she kept filling the silence with her feelings and then running off.
Okay, I could see that.
At least that's how I understand. Like, I know I'm a Maury stan, so maybe I'm seeing that wrong and it's still, like, kind of messed up that he didn't say anything. But that's just how I interpreted it, was that he was waiting for her to stop talking and, like, he knew it. Or he could understand that she stopped to say something.
Yeah. No, I could see that. I could see that. I think he could have chimed in, but right. She did just kind of keep going.
Yeah, she did just kind of keep going. And then it was just, like, weird. It's weird in that shoujo, I don't even know if it's a shoujo. It's just, like, a manga trope of confessing to people and you don't really know them. But
yeah.
Yeah. I was just kind of like, I didn't really see the point of the confession side plot. Like, oh, like, you like this person and now I'm going to join the host club. And then Renge is like, you're a part of the team now. And it's like, this is so not necessary. I feel like the cavity thing was enough, you know.
Yeah, it did seem kind of nonsensical. Although I will say it does kind of set up a ship for Honey and Maury, which is, like, kind of weird because they're cousins.
Or maybe we could see it as background for Haruhi's ship with Maury, because she, like, not caught him, but she, like, saw it happening.
Ooh, okay. Interesting. That's cool.
Know. I'm a Maury stan, so I'm reading into it.
Yeah, no, I like that take, because I don't hate the idea of Maury and Haruhi.
Right. I mean, I don't abhor it either, but at the same time, it's like, that's my man, girl. Like, get away. Which, thank you guys for, like, answering our poll. We have a poll.
Yeah.
On our first Ouran High School Host Club recap, we have a poll on who your favorite host is, and y'all have been answering it. If you haven't, go back to our episode. This is specifically a Spotify exclusive.
Yeah.
And go vote for your favorite host. And we did it. So it's on Spotify, thanks to Gianna. But then it was also on Twitter. And a good portion of y'all were choosing Maury. And I mean, I love that y'all are part of my community, but don't eat off my plate. Like, I don't know.
It's like, love that we're in solidarity, but he's mine.
He's mine. Like, y'all were picking him a little too much.
It's like the Prince Yuki fan club in Fruits Basket.
Right. Oh my, wait, no, because I don't want to be that girl.
No, but you're way nicer and better than her.
Right. Like, I'm not trying to hurt people.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's a lot of Maury, there are more Maury stans than I thought. So
yeah,
that's cool, but he's mine. But cool.
But cool.
Cool. Yeah. I especially love the people who chose Haruhi on Twitter. Yeah,
yes. I love that.
Yeah. I love that too. Do pick her.
Yes.
Pick her. Leave Maury to me.
Anyone but Maury.
Yeah. Which, oh my gosh, another side note, he's like part of my zodiac for real. He's a Taurus. He's a May Taurus.
Oh, that's right. I love that.
I was so excited. I'm like, yes.
It makes sense. Please.
Yeah. So I'm just like, oh, okay, you know.
No big deal.
No wonder we see eye to eye. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, but enough with the side notes. Ice cream, you scream. So the one that I have is also about Maury. I don't agree with him being thrown against the wall.
No, that's actually my other ice cream, you scream. It's like both saddening and maddening when Honey takes out his anger on him and says that he hates him. That's just such a sad and, like, anger-inducing scene all at once.
Yeah, it's like, and it really, like, messed him up because he, like, was shook. But he also wanted that punishment as well.
Yeah.
So it's just like, Maury the masochist? I don't know.
Oh.
But regardless, yeah, I didn't like him being, like, thrown against the wall. Because, honestly, Honey shouldn't be biting people. Like, if it's that bad, get a dentist. Y'all have money. Like,
yeah. Like, I'm sure he could make an emergency appointment.
I'm surprised that they didn't do, like, you know, children's medicine. Like, they make it, like, as if it tastes like candy. I'm surprised they didn't just give him, like, tooth medicine or, like...
Oh, that's right.
Pain medicine that tastes like candy. I mean, it's shitty medicine, but it's, like, cherry-flavored shitty medicine.
Yeah, I remember, like, when my brother had braces, they were giving him this, like, first act mouthwash to use, and it was, like, grape-flavored or bubblegum-flavored, and, you know, I'm sure that honey would be all over that. If they had strawberry, he'd be set.
Right, right, yeah. I don't know why they didn't do that, but, yeah.
Yeah.
It was sad because it's just like, okay, we get it. Honey is strong and he is able to pick up Mori and throw him, but he shouldn't actually do it, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all I have.
Right. That's all I have as well.
Cool.
So that was episode 31 of Shoujo Sunday. Thank you guys for listening. Make sure to share this episode, share our podcast with your friends, families, neighbors, haters, maybe not your haters. I wouldn't endorse you talking to them. But share it with as many people as possible. We would love to grow our shoujo community. Also, make sure to follow us on social media. We are at Shoujo Sunday everywhere. Also, we are on Discord.
Yes.
We have a little Discord server and it's brand new. It's like a baby, but we wanted to be able to talk with you guys. So please join our Discord. You'll be able to find that in our link tree. So our link tree is available on our Instagram. It's linked there. You could also go to Twitter, and our website link on Twitter is the Discord invite. So you can click that and join in, and you'll be able to just talk with us more. We talk not just about shoujo stuff. We talk about food. Like, Gianna will talk about the food that she makes.
Yeah.
I'll talk about the movies that I've watched. We'll talk about the shoujo current events that are happening. It's fun. It's a little quiet community, but we hope to grow it. So yeah, make sure to join our Discord.
Yeah. And I also alert you guys when I do live streams. Yeah. And I'm doing more of those lately. So yeah, if you're interested in any of that and just like chatting with fellow shoujo fans, absolutely join up.
Yes, please do that. Introduce yourselves. We hope that like the community grows and that you guys are able to make friends with each other and with us.
Yeah.
And that's like our biggest like motivator. And also you can talk. We have a channel about podcast discussion. So if you are listening to any of the episodes, it doesn't have to be the most current one, and you have thoughts, put it in the podcast discussion channel on our Discord. We would love to hear what you have to say or your reactions to some of the things we say.
Yeah, I would love that.
Yeah.
I'd love to like talk about what we're talking about with you. You know, we record like we're talking with you as well. So yeah. It would be really cool to actually type back to you in our Discord server.
Yeah. So make sure to join that. And I guess I am Chica Supreme. You can follow me at Chica Supreme. That is Chica with a K and not two C's. Gianna.
I am Gianna Luna, and you can follow me across all socials at Gianna_Luna_, and that's Gianna with one N.
Okay, and we'll see you guys next time.
Yes, we will see you then.
Bye.